Welcome to the Raised with Jesus podcast, 10 minutes every day where the life of Jesus meets yours. You've got your daily Bible reading for January 27th, 2019. Today, we get into the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. This is what happened after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord. The Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, the attendant of Moses, Moses, my servant, is dead. So prepare to cross the Jordan River that lies in front of you. You and all this people, prepare to go into the land that I am about to give to the people of Israel. I have given you every place where the sole of your foot has stepped, just as I promised Moses, from the wilderness and from Lebanon to the great river, the Euphrates River, all the land of the Hittites, as far as the Mediterranean Sea where the sun sets. This will be your territory. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, I will be with you. I will not abandon you, and I will not forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will divide this land among these people, this land which I swore to their fathers that I would give to this people. Just be strong and very courageous. Be careful to act according to the entire law which my servant Moses commanded for you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may succeed wherever you go. This book of the law must not depart from your mouth, and you are to meditate on it day and night, so that you will act faithfully according to everything written in it, because then you will prosper in everything you do, and you will succeed. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified, and do not be overwhelmed, because the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So Joshua gave this order for the officers of the people. Go through the camp and give this order to the people. Prepare provisions for yourselves, because within 3 days you will be crossing over this Jordan to take possession of the land that the Lord your God is giving to you as a possession. To the Reubenites and the Gadites, and to the half of the tribe of Manasseh, Joshua said, Remember the command that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you, when he said, The Lord your God is granting you rest, and he has given you this land. Your wives, your children, and your cattle will stay in the land that Moses gave you east of the Jordan. But you yourselves, all your strong warriors in their military units, are to cross over ahead of your brothers. You are to help your brothers, until the Lord gives rest to them as he has to you, and they too take possession of the land that the Lord your God is giving to them. Then you may return to the land allotted to you, so that you may fully possess the land that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave to you in the area east of the Jordan toward the sunrise. Then they answered Joshua, Everything that you have commanded us we will do. We will go to any place you send us. Just as we obeyed Moses in all things, we will likewise obey you. May the Lord your God be with you, just as he was with Moses. Anyone who rebels against your orders and does not obey whatever you command him will be put to death. Just be strong and courageous. This is the word of our God. So last time, yesterday's reading, we left off in Exodus 32, 33, 34, the account of the golden calf, the first set of stone tablets that Moses broke, and then the second stone tablets. And then we skip ahead, you know, a good 45 years probably, because the Israelites, they eventually make their way to the edge of the promised land. They send in these spies, these scouts who scouted out for a good month and a half, and they come back. And 10 of the 12 spies say, you know, the land is too much, the people are too big, the cities are too strong, we can't do it. And Joshua and Caleb were the only two who said, well, who cares? God is with us, so of course we can. God has promised it, so we should go. And the people rebel, and they say, no, this is a bad idea. Let's go back home. Let's go back to Egypt. And they fantasize about what life was like back in Egypt around pots of meat every night. And they forget. They have this very selective memory that forgets about the hard labor. And they're crying out to the Lord and the slavery there. But most of all, they forget about the faithfulness of God, who had said that he would give them this land. And there at the edge of the promised land, you know, as we talked about a day or two ago, that the strength of the people of Israel is the fact that God is with them. And so their strength is in a knowledge of their weakness, and not in their armies and not in their leaders and diplomacy, but their strength is the faith that they have in the Lord. And that's what they are missing that first time when they get to the edge of the promised land. So God sends them out into the wilderness for a 40-year time out, really. even after a few said, all right, the next day, all right, let's go in there, let's take possession of it. And they got scared off and driven away, and it was an utter failure. God sends them out into the wilderness for 40 years, and God carries out his discipline and his punishment against those who disobeyed him and those who did not trust him. And the majority of that generation who didn't trust him died there in the desert. It's probably during that time that Moses wrote and made extensive use of Psalm 90. If you have a minute today, check out Psalm 90. Lord, you have been our dwelling place from generation to generation. It just sounds like this perfect fit for 40 years of funerals as God brought his discipline on those people who had disobeyed him. Anyway, so then 40 years later, we get to the edge of the promised land. Moses had disobeyed God. God had said, speak to this rock. And instead, Moses struck it as though he himself were the one bringing forth the water rather than God actually bringing forth the water and using him. And so Moses got to see the promised land, but he didn't get to go in. And he died there in Mount Nebo, and God buried him. And it's also possible that that God raised him from the dead and then brought him to heaven bodily. Check out the book of Jude, second to last book of the Bible, where it talks about the archangel Michael squabbling with the devil over the body of Moses. And the only reason that I leave that open as a possibility is when you think of the Mount of Transfiguration and who's there talking to Jesus. Transfiguration, obviously, coming up at the end of February this year. Who's there talking with Jesus? You've got Elijah and you've got Moses, and they're recognizable for who they are. Not that Moses needed to have his body and needed to have been resurrected and taken to heaven bodily, but it's possible. Anyway, so that's kind of bringing us up to speed, and now Joshua is the new leader. And he's probably, I'd have to look it up. My guess would be probably in his 70s by now, maybe 60s. And God obviously has preserved him and has kept him strong, just as God had kept Moses strong. Moses had died at 120 years old. And there's also the note there that his eyes did not weaken and his strength did not deteriorate or something like that. So here they are at the edge of the promised land. And so that history update is kind of the first takeaway. The second takeaway is fascinating. You almost hear this refrain in this chapter, be strong and courageous. God says it to Joshua. Have I not commanded you to be strong and courageous? Verse 9, up there in verse 6. And then all the way again at the end of the chapter, the people echo it back to Joshua. Verse 18, be strong and courageous. And when God says it, he says, I will be with you. Just be strong and courageous. I will be with you. Be strong and courageous. When the people say it, they have this prayer. May the Lord your God be with you, just as he was with Moses. Just be strong and courageous. And so we see God promises to be with us. And, you know, even better than that, that in baptism, God himself came to live with you. That in baptism, the Holy Spirit took up residence in your heart as your sin is forgiven, and he wants to work through you. That's the thing. Like, what is it that you and I are afraid of? What is it that that kind of keeps us from speaking about our faith? Oh no, they might not talk to me again. They might think I'm weird. Oh no, you know, I don't know that person. That's just not our cultural norm to really speak up about faith or to invite somebody to church. They're going to think ill of me, or who knows. And how many blessings would the Israelites have forsaken if Joshua was not strong and courageous? If Joshua had not said, you know what, this is a super intimidating task, you know, big cities in this gigantic land that is also crawling with all sorts of wild animals. This is an intimidating task, and they've been waiting, you know, probably about 600 years since God first spoke it to Abraham, maybe even 800 years. And if Joshua wasn't strong and courageous, then the whole thing would have fizzled out. That God wants to accomplish great things through his people. But the glory belongs to God, because the only reason Joshua can be strong and courageous is because God says he is with you. God says, I am with you. And the people remind him, may the Lord your God be with you. Just be strong and courageous. And so as you go about your day, just take a moment to thank God for his abiding presence in word and sacrament. You know, just not the nebulous idea that God is with me wherever I go and isn't this wonderful and rainbows and lilies and flowers and all that, but even more true that in holy baptism, you were buried with Jesus, you were raised with Jesus, your sin was washed away, and the Holy Spirit has taken up residence in your heart. And so when you say, God is with me, you know that is true because Jesus has made you to be a holy dwelling. He has washed away your sin, and he has promised to be with you today and every day. So, be strong and courageous. God bless your day.